Welcome to the Round 19 Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm Marcus, and this week we're joined by Dunny. Welcome back to the show, mate.
Thanks, Marcus. Great to be back.
And CJ, welcome back.
Hello again. Good to see everybody.
So we are 5 weeks out, and all sorts of crazy COVID carnage is hitting us. This is a very interesting place to be at this point in the season. I know a lot of listeners are nervously hoping for more trades to come through. Don't think we have anything concrete from Supercoach yet at time of recording. So wanted to let everyone know that at this stage, it seems like unless there is a game being missed, we won't have more trades or revert to best 18. I think they're going to manage it fairly similar to sort of bad luck. If you have individual players like Callum Mills going down, and that kind of makes sense with the precedent already being set. That, of course, is subject to change. If 25 players all get ruled out, I'm sure things will play out a little bit differently. But for now, those of us Mills Green owners, those were probably the two main ones, just copped it on the chin in the meantime. Either of you two gents affected by that decision on the weekend?
Yes. I had Callum Mills, and I'd already looped Highmore onto the field with Whitfield, and of course Bianco had started playing, so I couldn't put the extra E onto Bianco, but that's the way it goes. Look, I think for me, if that's the way they end up going, it's probably the right way to go. It's a laid out. It's unlucky. Otherwise, you'd be sort of making rules for all sorts of different situations. So I think playing it this way, probably the easiest way to go. And it's just a case of a bit of bad luck, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was in exactly the same position as Dunny, where if we had have known a little bit earlier, I could have brought Bianco on. But unfortunately, Sunday was not a particularly kind day to me, Supercoach-wise. But yeah, it is what it is. I think there's enough luck involved in the game that can't get too upset about these things. I think if you do, you'll go a little bit mad. It's unfortunate, but at least I was fortunate enough to start Mills this year, so you know, happy owning an owner, so I think it's all right.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's a bit more unique because he's started the season off.
Yeah, why
well.
Couldn't Jake Lloyd miss? Why couldn't it be Jake Lloyd?
That's it. But there was all sorts of carnage with Dusty going down. That's one of the main topics this week. Josh Kelly done something as well. Surprisingly, plenty to talk about this week. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of some questions, we'll start off with a quick team update. CJ, why don't you kick us off? How have you gone since the last time?
I had an absolute shocker last week. Pretty much as soon as Marcus sent me a text saying, do you want to be on the podcast? Everything started going downhill. I was looking pretty good right up until that message. I said yes, and yeah, I got hit by podcaster's curse. I scored 22.78 with a lovely little donut from Mills. I tossed up right up until the bounce. I had the C on Walsh instead of Grundy, and I said, "Oh no, I'm a bit scared. Let's be safe. Let's go Grundy." And gee, that came back to bite me. Didn't take Brambles 91 instead of Pendlebury. Yeah. Not a particularly good Sunday, but we're still doing all right. Sitting at 1700th, so not terrible. But this is the first week I've gone backwards in quite a while. I've been on a steady march up towards the top 1K, and it's a bit disappointing to slide back about 300 places, but that's all right.
Yeah, I refuse to let anybody on the show who has a higher rank than me, so you slid behind me this week. I scored 24.02, moved up 100 spots to 1575th. The Mills out resulted in Madden coming on field with a 38, so that probably explains a bit of the poor score there. Grundy as captain was probably the other pain point, but Rowan Marshall, 127 on debut, Tom Hawkins, 128, Sam Walsh, Tom Mitchell, can't complain too much about the team except for the fact that Mills was out. Dunny, how's your weekend?
I, like CJ, I copped the Mills donut, unfortunately. So I ended with 23.15. So I was looking at a pretty healthy score up until that point. I'm ranked currently 46.22. Dropped 180 spots. I actually thought I was going to drop more after copping a donut, so I wasn't too unhappy with that. I also had a bit of a captain fail this week. So I ended up going captain on Zach Merritt after giving up McRae's 124. So thankfully it didn't burn me too bad, but geez, I should have taken some of my other guys with Walsh with his 193 or Danger's 134. And also had Josh Kelly who went off with his 76. Dusty with his 65 also hurt me a bit as well. So I've got a couple of issues to deal with this week. So pretty happy that I still have four trades in hand so I can deal with a couple of those problems.
In terms of our Supercoach Coach group update, our top scoring patron for the week was Ben's team, NEBFC. He scored 26.01, which was around 18 rank of 25th overall, which was awesome. In terms of our leader overall for the Patreon group, that's Zach's team, Patton's Generals. 25.51 saw him re-secure number one overall. Travis's team, Styling and Profiling, only 12 points behind Zach. So lots of tight competition up the top end of our Patreon group for our cash tip at the end of the season. In terms of our main Supercoach Coach group, the top scorer overall was Josh's team, Dangerous Fields. 26.39 saw a top 10 round rank at 7th. And also call out that, unfortunately, Clem dropped a little bit to 4th. I think he got dealt with an unfortunate late donut with Mills. But Emily Chalice, or Supercoach Mama, has taken the overall lead of Supercoach overall. So sitting first overall at the moment, Emily, congratulations. And we'll be cheering all the SCC-affiliated coaches on the run home. All right, let's get on to some questions for the week. And we'll start off with the COVID-related question from David Bailey on Facebook. How do we deal with top-tier primos out next week due to COVID ISO if you do not have bench cover? Are we better to just cop the donut and save trades for real injuries? So very interesting, especially when it relates to the top of the tops, because you be wary about trading a player out and then having negative points on your trade-in candidate for the remaining rounds. And Callum Mills is definitely one of those players in the back line. Josh Dunkley, I think it's also been announced that he was at a tier one cafe. So if anybody happened to go early on him, he's obviously going to miss. I guess the other part that's interesting is Mills, I guess, was in tier two. So in Victoria, tier two is get isolated until you get a result. I mean, you can get back on field. But as they've moved interstate, some of that tiering doesn't translate exactly. So I wonder even, do either of you gents know, is Mills potentially out for another week?
Yeah, last I heard, Mills will be missing this week coming, and so will Toby Green. But Dunkley is actually going to miss the next two games because his 14 days hasn't started, well, it only started today, I believe. So that's probably the difference in this question is, I think, you know, the way you would treat Dunkley was probably different to the way that you would treat Mills and Toby Green. What do you think on that, CJ?
Thinking about this, you know, a vast majority of people have Dusty. I think his ownership's very, very, very high. I think it's in the high 70s, which is probably more like in the 90s for active coaches. My advice would be if you are forced to replace Dusty this week and you have a couple of trades left, it might be worth moving a Mills down to, say, Jake Lloyd or someone slightly lower if it means you can go Dusty up to a proper forward premium like a Dangerfield. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are a little bit short trading out Dusty to anyone that isn't Bolton. So I think if you twin it and look at trading out Mills or Toby Green, if these trades, mostly Mills, can give you the cash to upgrade Dusty, I'd be probably considering that fairly heavily.
We still have to return to the question, I think, on the COVID-specific players. But seeing as you've brought up Dusty, I guess to complement what you've said there, as a question from Aralis Maximus, one of our patrons, he only has two trades left. He has Dusty. If he also had a player that was going to miss this week, would you be looking in that situation to still proceed with what you suggested? Surely the trade count's got to come into it. I presume if you've got, you know, three in bank, maybe you could do the double trade and keep one. But you probably wouldn't be looking Mills and Dusty out if you were going the zero trades, right, Sage?
Yeah,
there's still another four rounds after this.
Depends also if you're copying donuts. I think if you're copying a donut on both, then yes. I try and think of trades at this time of the year. If you can get 200 points out of a trade, then I think you've done pretty well. Covering a donut for 1 week is 100 points. So I think there's not enough impetus there to cover a guy like Mills. But if they're missing two, like Dunkley, then I think I'd be less inclined to cop the donut and
If somebody gets injured again next week, though, CJ, you could be missing up to 4 weeks. That could be four donuts, 400 points, right?
Potentially.
Yeah. I think it's definitely a tough one. What do you reckon, Donny?
Yeah, look, I think you're right. It is tough. If it's the Dunkley that you're talking about, I'm probably more inclined to make that trade because you are going to pick up 2 weeks of zeros. And I guess the other thing we need to take into account is a lot of this is going to depend on your bench cover and your ability to DPP players around. If you can bring someone on field who's going to get you maybe a 50 or something like that, you could probably get away with not doing, you know, the COVID player out. But if you do need that cash to get Dusty to someone decent, maybe that's an option if you're a fairly aggressive player. I agree partially with you there, Marcus. I think I'd like to have at least one more trade left after doing that double trade. But I'm sure, you know, if you had two longer term injuries this week, then you would definitely do a double trade. But I think with Mills, I'm less inclined to trade because it's only one more week. But Dunkley, you know, he's going to miss two out of five games now. So that's probably more of an impetus for me to actually make that trade. But both of you made some really valid points on this. It is a really tricky situation when you're this close because you know that the guys who are out are still going to be able to run. They'll still be able to do things. But, or are they? No, they're probably not because they'll be locked inside. I'm thinking injury versus, you know, fit player. But it's just a whole new world. These sorts of trades now?
The main consideration points I would look at is, will this COVID out deliver you donuts or not? If they will be delivering you donuts, then one donut you can stomach for the greater good, depending on your trade situations. Two, even if it's your last trade, you'd be pretty tempted, per CJ's point, just to use it and hope that on the run home you can deal with getting lucky and with your bench. The second element, which you just brought up, Donny, is how deep is your bench? You can definitely go more aggressive the deeper your bench is, and probably I'd get as aggressive as going down to one final trade this week, potentially. And, of course, you know, you've got the Kelly, the Dusty, the Mills, the Dunkley. There's a few different combinations to throw up there, but that's another thing to consider is your cover. But in Morales' situation, I guess if you have two trades left, I really wouldn't be looking at using your final two trades to do a double swap. In that case, I'd be tempted to just do Dusty, find somebody cheaper that you can take a risk on, and then use the last trade on the run home. I'm pretty certain in the last 4 weeks there may be a hiccup or two. That spare trade will be helpful on if at all possible. But winners have done it on the run home previously. Like, I'm pretty sure there's been a winner that tanked out of trades with 4 weeks to go, and it was enough to hold on. So
it can happen, but I don't know if I could take that risk myself.
On Aralis's point, the idea of using a trade to improve bench cover, I think at this point in the year, there's no point improving your bench cover. Just save the trade for fixing a premium that goes out because you might not even end up using the bench cover.
Exactly.
Or the improvement in bench cover might net you an extra, say, 20 points when someone's out injured. You might improve from 50 points to 70 points of cover, but you could also just use that trade on a premium to a premium and you already score more in that week. Using a trade on bench cover this late in the year is generally ill-advised. I think you're better off waiting to
use Lockie it on Bramble premium. And Jeremy Sharp will be laughing at you with their huge scores. But in general, no, that's good advice.
Marcus, how many times have we seen these rookies come in with massive scores only to score a 20 the following week?
Yes, very, which very I'd be good.
Fairly happy if those two guys do because I don't have them.
Yeah, very, very sensible heads there giving good advice. So, in general, agree, very team-specific considerations for everyone. But maybe the last point that I'd have, if we're not talking about top-tier players, but potentially players that are a little bit more fringe. So if Tim Taranto were to miss last week, for example, and you had a trade up your sleeve, here's a perfect opportunity to dodge a rookie score and solve a problem. So I'm sure depending on what plays out or shakes out, over the next week, there could certainly be some opportunities for side swaps. But we're keeping our fingers crossed that there's not any more tier one sites that get discovered or tier two sites that put these players out. Keep these guys in bubbles, right? Like, we've got too much on the line with Supercoach. We don't need them going to football games and going to break. Just stay in your bubbles.
To be honest, I'd be pretty happy if we just let's just take a week off, let everybody come back. Let's let Josh Kelly's ankle injury heal for a week.
Exactly.
It's pretty good for everybody.
Sounds good to me.
Just get on top of this COVID outbreak. I mean, I can entertain myself for a weekend if there's no football. I reckon we'll be all right.
They do have a pre-finals bye up their sleeve.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let's just get rid of that. We don't need that.
Off the COVID questions now and on to Dustin Martin, really. Questions about injuries. So the first one here from @dubious1968 from Twitter. Thoughts on Martin to Rowan Marshall versus Jordan Degoe. Now, I've got a couple of questions specifically on Marshall v. Degoe for the trade-in target for Dusty. They're both reasonably well-priced. Jordan Degoe is still under 500 and he's scored 110 plus 4 weeks in a row now. I think 29 possessions or more in each of his last four games. And Rowan Marshall's last game was obviously big with that 127 and potentially, you know, building some of that fitness and getting back up to his average 110 in the season before. So some top end scoring there. Both have injury risk, which is interesting because I'm sure everyone's on final trades, but we're throwing caution to the wind at this stage with some of these trade-in targets. The safety's for suckers when we need value. What do you reckon, Dunny, Marshall or Degoe? What flavour has your fancy?
I like both of them, and I'm in the situation where I do need to trade Dusty and I do want to minimise the amount of cash that I use. Just having a quick look at Marshall and his run home. He comes up against Nick Nat this week, assuming these fixtures stay as the Supercoach app has them. But then he's up against Carlton, Sydney, Geelong, and Fremantle. And if you think about if he's going to be playing ruck in those games, I'm going to back him in pretty much all of those games, except for maybe against Hickey, who's probably the only big one he's going to come up against, particularly with all the injuries at Freo. Well, that's assuming Sean Darcy plays, of course.
I don't know. He didn't look that bad. I reckon Darcy will be back by the
hopefully he is. Hopefully he is, because I need him for my draft team. But I like Rowan Marshall. I think he's a good selection. But then similarly, Degoe, since he's made that move with a bit more midfield time in recent weeks, I think he's an excellent option. So if I had to pick between the two, I'm probably going to go with Degoe, only because he's going to get more of that midfield time that he's had in recent weeks. But it is a toss of the coin, really, on that one.
If money is not an issue, like if that 30-ish K is not really going to be a big deal breaker for you, I would probably pick Degoe. Marshall having a foot injury still scares me a bit. I think foot injuries are probably the injury that scares me the most in terms of if you have any soreness during a game, you are just getting cotton wool immediately. And Marshall is so important for St Kilda. On the flip side, if you pick Jordan Degoe, then you have to have Jordan Degoe in your team, which I don't know whether I can stomach. Like, the man's a flaw. Like, there's a certain, like, moral argument to not putting Degoe in your football team.
Trading out one guy covered in tats for another guy covered in tats. They're just, you know, it's all the same to me.
I think there'd be some sweet irony in Mark trading out Degoe just before he turns it on. And then me trading in Degoe just on this sweet run home. There's something poetic about that. That's got me tempted for sure. Injury risk aside, you've got to look at Degoe's role and say, unlike Stringer, he's no longer just playing midfield and then pushing forward. Degoe's basically functioning like a true midfielder now. Supercoach has shown us in the run home, when teams sort of mix up their team mix a little bit, there's definitely opportunities to hook on to a hot finisher and trying to deny that fact when clubs are looking for a shining light to head into the next season with can be a bit foolhardy. You assume that Degoe keeps his role up. You know, 4 weeks at 110 plus, that's pretty undeniable at this stage. So I agree with the comments you've both made so far. This follow-up question from Stephen Benz asking about options for Dusty, though, if you have less cash or you don't have cash in bank. So options under his price point currently. Is it as simple as going Shai Bolton who obviously had a big game, and with Dusty Martin going down, should get more of that midfield responsibility? Or should he take a punt on a key position forward with good strength of schedule, which definitely can be a very positive strategy in the last 4 or 5 weeks of the round?
I think it's definitely as simple as just picking Bolton. I think really is a pretty safe pick as far as guys sub Dusty go. He's kind of my choice. You could look at Taron Thomas if you want something a little bit unique, but I think for me, I'd probably just be looking straight at Bolton. I think the one game he played this year without Dusty, I think that was against GWS. I think he's got 121. So small sample size, but he's definitely my pick in that cheaper than Dusty ballpark.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, mate. There's not really much in that cheaper than Dusty ballpark that's really worth looking at, unfortunately. Yeah, I'm just having a most of the ones who are cheaper are either injured or out of form or a bit out of favour at the moment. I think if you're going to go down from Dusty, that's pretty much really your only play that I think you'd really want to take.
Steel side bottom?
Yeah.
couldn't do it, I don't think. Trolling Marcus here.
Thanks, CJ.
I'm very hesitant to ask this question of you two Geelong supporters joining me here, but if you did have a little bit more cash, is Tom Hawkins the man to go to?
I mean, Geelong have a very nice run home. Bolter's out at Richmond. He scored 149 against them earlier in the season. Then you've got North, GWS, St Kilda and Melbourne. He did score 55 against Melbourne earlier on in the season, but in terms of strength of schedule, really pretty good. That's one team that's currently sitting in the eight on the run home. Although three fighting for a top eight finish, or really that seventh or eighth spot. So it could be interesting, but I don't mind that selection, especially with Cameron now.
Yeah. The
concentration of that forward target going to him and getting a few more opportunities might be pretty good.
Yeah, and I guess assuming everything once again stays as is at the moment, you know, the last three games all being in Geelong, where he certainly loves playing. So that'd be, if you've got an extra, what's that going to cost you, about an extra 15K, definitely worth looking at. And it's certainly one that I'll be very seriously looking at this week.
Marcus and I jumped on the Hawkins bandwagon quite early, straight after.
Oh, yes. Those of us in the group chat are well aware of this, yes.
Hey, when you got a key position forward, it's a roller coaster you're talking up every week.
Speaking of roller coasters, the one I like a lot if you're playing for leagues and you really just want to swing for the fences is Buddy Franklin.
Yeah.
He's 5K more than Dusty Martin. His last five games are Freo, Essendon, St Kilda, and then plays North Melbourne and Gold Coast in the finals. He needs 19 goals to hit 1,000. If you were looking for a league-based swing for the fences, I reckon you could do a lot worse than the Bud. I remember bringing him in a couple of years ago with my last trade for a league final, and he scored 170-something. So he's got a history of performing well at the tail end of the year. If you don't mind a bit of a risky one, Buddy's not a bad shout, but I think the safety of Bolton's just too hard to ignore.
Next question is from JB. He has two trades left and he's playing for leagues. Dusty has to go, but is Josh Kelly 100% trade? We haven't really got a heap of news at this stage. We're recording on a Monday night in terms of Josh Kelly, but with Kelly a chance to play some games on the run home, you'd say trade Dusty and potentially hold Josh Kelly at this stage, especially if you're not facing a donut. And that would be the general recommendation for anyone who's facing multiple outs this week. I wouldn't go to zero unless you are covering donuts. If you have cover for Josh Kelly at this stage, as an example, you'd probably just run with that cover and keep the last trade up your sleeve for a donut on the run home, which generally a situation like that comes up.
Particularly if you're playing for leagues, I would definitely be saving your trades there.
Yeah, I agree.
Can we just blame Bryce for Josh Kelly? This is entirely Bryce's fault. You posted on Twitter that Josh Kelly's on track to play 22 games this year. God.
Yeah, definitely his fault.
That was the curse. The final nail in the coffin for his good run this year.
Filthy.
Do we know when the Giants are playing this weekend?
That hasn't been announced yet. It's still TBC.
But is it Sunday?
Same with the Richmond game.
If it is later in the round, obviously then you can use some of your loops earlier on. And if you do jag a decent score from like a Burns or someone like that at St Kilda, depending on the timing of all these games, it might be worth holding Josh Kelly for that loop if you can.
Yeah.
Don't commit to your trade too early.
It'll be on Sunday, given we've already got five games scheduled for Saturday, I would say pretty safe bet that both the Geelong and Richmond game and the Essendon Giants game will be on Sunday.
Yeah. Mm. So I think, yeah, that's probably the thing I would advise for anyone who's looking at trading out Josh Kelly is, A, wait for information later this week. If it's looking like a 2 to 3 weeker, then certainly go ahead. But if it's still questionable, try and use your bench cover to loop him off the field.
All right, next question is from Daniel Maserotti, one of our patrons. He's asking for the best midfielder to replace Josh Kelly under 580K. So interesting price point because there are a lot of good options, but they're generally expensive. So Jack Steele, 690, Parrish, 690, Bontempelli, 620, Tuke Miller, 660, Sam Walsh, 650, Jared Lyons, 583, Tom Mitchell, 613, Merritt, 610. Below that price point is certainly much less options.
There's one that stands out to me under 580, and that's Clayton Oliver at 577. He's
100%.
The man that I want to get in if I do need to trade Josh Kelly, and if I go Dusty to Tom Hawkins, I can just get there with $1,000 to spare.
Oh, beautiful.
That meant sounds to be. Like it's locked away, Dunny.
How do you not have Clayton Oliver at this point in the year, Dunny? What have you been doing?
Not entirely sure, but I do have his mate Christian Petrarca in my side.
Okay, that's excusable.
I think you're right, Dunny. Clayton is probably the clear standout. For anyone that's looking to save a bit of cash, Cam Guthrie had a 40 in round 16 against Essendon. Outside of that, his average is actually still pretty good. Probably hasn't returned to the best form prior to returning from the ankle, so it is a bit of a call out. His highest score since then is 111, but he's had three scores above the ton in that time. Cam Guthrie is at 483,000.
Can I throw in one other player who in his last 9 games has only gone under 100 once? He's had 2 scores in the 130s and a 154 last week. Doesn't get mentioned a lot, and that's Ollie Wines. He is under 580, like Oliver, with games to come against Collingwood, GWS, Adelaide, Carlton, but does finish with the Bulldogs in round 23. Once again, if you're looking for that, that really unique player, because he's in just 6% of teams, you could certainly consider going for Ollie Wines.
I don't hate the Wines pick. Not a bad unique selection. He does seem to have the same issue Taranto does a little bit of just butchering the ball and having a pretty bad DT to SC ratio, but he's still finding enough of it that I think he's not a bad selection.
He gets a lot of clearances and a lot of contested possessions in amongst those touches.
All right, let's move on. A question here from @xFalcon9x on Twitter. For leagues, he's asking about whether or not to trade out Taranto to Tom Mitchell before Mitchell really spikes in price. It would mean having to move Martin to Marshall rather than Dugowie. And he'd only have 2 trades left afterwards for injuries. Just want to mention, for leagues at this stage, you really got to look at your position and your likelihood to make finals. If you're locked for a top 4 or top 8 position and winning the next... Wait, are we heading into finals already?
One more to go.
Then, yeah, with the 1 week left, I really wouldn't be too fussed about making a trade this week. I'd probably more look at trading Martin for the right player that you want on the run home and then taking an extra week to decide on Taranto out, because you never know, you know, you might get another injury like a Josh Kelly or a Dustin Martin that might cause you a bit of a rethink. 3 trades for the last 4 rounds, if you're a league player, is plenty. I probably wouldn't go a week early on Taranto to Mitchell.
No, 100% agree with that, mate. If you're battling to make the 8, then definitely swing for the fences, as CJ would say. But other than that, I would hold that trade if I could.
Particularly with guys like Guthrie, priced cheaper than Taranto at the moment. Trades are like gold for leagues. You can use them to negate an opponent's POD or trade in someone they can't deal with. I'd just be holding on. There's enough decent options that aren't Tom Mitchell. He's not a must-own by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
All right, let's finish with a captain's corner.
I think Sam Walsh as a VC against North Melbourne at Marvel Stadium is pretty much a lock for me at this point. Yeah, and I'm looking at the current AFL released schedule, which still has Port and Collingwood on the Friday. I don't like Grundy in that game against what will probably be Lysette and a mixture of sort of Dixon. So Walsh against North into now it gets tough. Maybe an Oliver against the Dogs or McRae against Melbourne or even a Laird against Hawthorn at Adelaide Oval is what's scheduled at the minute. Could be good. Just looking at the other times, they don't really work, I don't think, to go into Steele against
West Coast. Should be able to do that, I reckon. That's
yeah, it might be a tight turnaround. You might not be
able to see scaling, but I think you'll have a reasonable reasonable idea.
Should be close.
That's the way I'm leaning at the moment.
Yeah, so I don't really like anything on the Sunday at this stage. To sum that up, yeah, probably Walsh into Steele if you've got him, or maybe a Laird or a McRae.
Darcy Parrish, if you're an owner. Again, Parrish against the Giants is probably not a bad shout. Sam Walsh is very hard to ignore as a VC option, and Jack Steele is very hard to ignore as a C option. They've both been in just absolutely phenomenal touch recently. Pretty hard to turn down those two blokes, particularly if we're still stuck in lockdown, then it won't be particularly hard to make that call at kind of 4:30, given most of us are probably just going to be sitting on the couch watching the football.
Yeah, so the fixture's changed up, hasn't it? Because originally we had Melbourne playing Gold Coast.
So there were three games brought forward from round 20 into round 19 and their corresponding games pushed back. So I think that was Adelaide Hawthorn, Melbourne Western Bulldogs and Brisbane Gold Coast.
Yeah,
interesting. I think that was a lot of that was around Brisbane and Gold Coast, then not having to move out of Queensland and accommodating where teams currently are.
Yeah, no, I like the suggestion on Walsh. I think he definitely makes sense. And then I was struggling a little bit to look for the alternate because there were some pretty attractive options. Like I think Bont last scored 199 against Adelaide and Clayton's done pretty well against Gold Coast. But that certainly does just change things up a fair bit. For me, probably Walsh into maybe Mitchell against Adelaide.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, as a consistent backup option, Tom Mitchell.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
All right. All the best for the upcoming week, listeners. Hopefully that's given you enough to percolate on. We're going to take a bit longer to record the Patreon bonus this week, try and get Mark on, but also just give a bit more time for some news to land, seeing as there's some interesting COVID developments. Gents, it's been great to have you on this week and get some of your advice in what is actually a pretty eventful round 19. There's not lots of those, but quite a bit to talk about this week. Any final bits of wisdom for our listeners as we head into a interesting COVID round?
If Marcus invites you to go on a podcast, just say no. It's much better for your rank.
Look, I'll just say I was, like most coaches, pretty pissed off when Mills was laid out on Sunday. But let's just remember, it's only a game. It's all a bit of fun. Good luck happens, bad luck happens. And whatever the Super Coach gods choose will also happen. So have fun with it, guys. Last round before finals. So hopefully you can all crack into the top four or at least the top eight this week. And see you in August or late July or whatever our finals are called.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, gents. And appreciate that positivity as we head into cold winter. It's bringing some interesting changes in gameplay, but also some interesting challenges in 2021. Catch you all next week. Best of luck. See you.
Bye.